I hope you were paying attention as we were singing those songs. The last two that we sang, you know, it's easy sometimes to just get used to the hymns that we sing and to forget that the message that's behind it is true and very powerful. We're singing 633, Jesus Loves Even Me. Amen. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And then 627, oh, how I love Jesus. And the song goes on to tell about how our love of Jesus and knowing him informs us of these wonderful truths, that he died to set me free, that he has things in store for me every day, and how knowing Jesus tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Sometimes the songs that we sing, we get used to. The more we sing them, and we forget the message that's behind them. I want you to turn to the book of Genesis this evening, Genesis chapter number 22. Arguably a very familiar story. If you've spent any length of time in church, you've heard the story of Abraham and Isaac probably more times than you can count. If you're like me and you grew up going to church and you went to Sunday school, you remember the flannel graph stories with Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain, and you could recite it backwards, forwards, upside down, anywhere. You know the story. And it's easy to forget the truth that is in the story. It's easy to forget that it's not just a story, it's not a fairy tale, it's not something fictional, but it's something that actually happened. Amen. And it's about a real man named Abraham and his only son Isaac, and the thing that God asked him to do. And this evening we want to kind of revisit this familiar story and consider some things. We want to consider some truths about Abraham and some truths about God and some truths about ourselves. You know, in this story, God asks Abraham to do something that is unfathomable to our human minds. Because we know the backstory. We know that God had promised to Abraham this son Isaac. And Abraham, of course, was an old man. His wife Sarah was old, and they were past the years of bearing children. But God worked miraculously and brought Isaac to them. It was 24 years after after God had promised to Abraham that he would have a son, Isaac. 24 years they waited. And 24 years later, Isaac finally came. Sometime after this, God comes and he tells Abraham that he wants him to sacrifice his son. Do something that was unfathomable. But yet Abraham obeyed. And we find some lessons about how God always asks much of his choicest servants. God always asks obedience and sacrifice from those who will follow him. The Bible says in Matthew 16 and verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Amen. If you're going to follow God, it requires sacrifice. So with this in mind, Genesis chapter number 22 and verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for the chance that we can all gather here together and open up your word and look at a familiar story, but Father, one that reveals some of who you are, one that informs us about what you are like. And Father, I believe that if we will apply it to our lives, one that can affect the way that we live today and how we honor and glorify you and how we serve you. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, that you would be with me, Father, that you would use me above that I am able, that you would speak through me and just help each one of us here this evening to be spoken to from your word, Father, that you would see what you would have us to see, and that each one of us would apply that to our lives and live differently this week because of it. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing that we want to do this evening is we want to consider Abraham. We have this familiar story before us, but we would do well to consider Abraham. And if we consider Abraham, the first thing that we can notice in verse number 1 is Abraham's attitude. We see in verse number 1 that God calls unto him, and he doesn't hide from God. He doesn't try to run or go anywhere, but instead he answers. God says, Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Seems kind of like a silly thing, really, but if you think about it, Abraham didn't try to hide from God. He answered. He said, God, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm available. How often in your life, when God tries to speak to you, when God says something to you, do you respond like that? Or how often do you try to ignore God? Or push him off? Or run away? I find in my life that often I don't have the response that Abraham does. Abraham says, Here I am. In other words, God, I'm listening. I'm ready. What do you want from me? You know, it's important as Christians for us to be listening, to be willing and ready to do what God wants us to do. But we can see that Abraham had a good attitude, not only because he was listening, but because of his actions. You see there in verse number 3, it says, And Abraham rose up early in the morning. So God comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I want you to do this thing that is incredible. This thing that you would never want to do. This thing that is unfathomable to your human mind. I want you to take your son and offer him as a sacrifice. I want you to take your son whom thou lovest, thine only son Isaac, and offer him to me. And you know, Abraham, he doesn't get all upset at God. He doesn't throw a pity party. He doesn't begin to pout and whine. He doesn't begin to push it off and say, well, maybe I heard wrong. Maybe I'll give God, you know, a couple weeks. I'll think about it. I'll pray about it some. And maybe God will change his mind. Now it says, Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't waste any time. He said, let's get this done. God told me what he wants me to do. I'm going to go do it. So we see that Abraham had a good attitude because he was listening to God and because he was obeying God immediately. You know, in this story and other places in Scripture where this is referenced, we don't find Abraham having a bad attitude. We don't find him being snarky or talking back to God or questioning or doubting. But rather, we see great evidence of unwavering faith and trust in God. You see, Abraham was a man that had faith. We see in verse number 5, it says, And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. So we can see that Abraham had great faith. Because God says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to go up on this mountain, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Now, I don't know if you've thought much about sacrifices, but normally, when you offer something as a burnt offering, that's it. It doesn't move anymore. It's burnt. It's done. It's dead. But Abraham says that he and Isaac were both going to return. Now, Abraham hadn't experienced God bringing the lamb and stopping his hand yet. They were still at the bottom. They hadn't climbed the mountain yet, and he hadn't gone to offer Isaac. But Abraham had faith in what God was going to do. Abraham had faith as he looked at the promise that God had given him, that through Isaac, he would become a great nation. And he believed God. Abraham was confident that God would provide. Verse number 8, And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So we find that Abraham not only had faith, but he was confident that God would provide. Abraham and Isaac, it says that they leave the young men there, and they take all of the supplies, and they begin to walk. It says that they were still afar off in verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. So Abraham and Isaac, they leave the young men there and they begin to walk. And Isaac, he knows what they're going to do. He's been around. He's seen his dad offer burnt offerings before. And they begin to walk and they have wood and they have fire and they have a knife to kill the sacrifice. And Isaac, he's not dumb. He says, Hey, Dad, where's the lamb? I mean, I see we have the wood, we have the fire, we have everything that we need for a burnt offering, but the lamb. And Abraham, looking to God in faith and confidence, says, God will provide himself a lamb. Now, okay, I know that you have heard this story a lot, and it's hard to really imagine, but I want you to put yourself in Abraham's shoes. I want you to put yourself in Isaac's shoes. This isn't just some story that's written in the pages of Scripture. This really happened. So those of you who are dads here this evening that have sons, think about that. What that would be like if God wanted you to give up your son. How hard would that be to have faith in God and not just say, oh yeah, I believe God, I have faith in him, but actually to act upon it. So we see that Abraham was a man that had faith. But he didn't just have faith in himself. He had confidence and faith in God. Abraham was willing to trust God all the way. And not hold back. He didn't just go through the motions. He didn't just talk a good game. He was willing to act. You know, true faith is always exemplified through obedience. Anyone can sit back and say, oh yeah, I have great faith. I believe God. I trust Him. But true faith is exemplified by obedience, by actions. Abraham's obedience proved his love for God. In verse number 12, it says, "And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad." This is the angel of the Lord. "Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." So the angel of the Lord calls out and stops him. Why? Because Abraham's obedience had been proved by his actions. His actions and the steps that he had taken had proven that he was willing to go as far as God wanted him to go. He wasn't going to hold back. He wasn't going to pull back. He was willing to obey. If you turn over to the book of James, chapter number 2. James chapter number 2 and verse 20. It says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." There's a lot that we could delve into and a lot that we could talk about in that passage. But he talks there and he says, don't you know that faith without works is dead? You can say you believe in something all you want, but until your actions put feet to your words, you don't really have faith. If I say that I believe in this chair, I believe that it can hold me, but I never sit down in it, I don't really believe it. I'm just saying it. And it's easy to just say that we have faith in God. It's easy to just say that we have trust in God. But it's something else to actually obey. It's something else to actually obey when God is calling for us to do something that is above and beyond what we want to do, that is above and beyond what is comfortable for us to do. But Abraham obeyed, and his obedience proved his love for God. But you know, there's something else that's important to notice about Abraham's obedience. It wasn't just for him. Because in Abraham's obedience and in this story, we have one of the greatest pictures of Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the greatest prophecies of Jesus in all of Scripture. It says there in verse number 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together." And we find here a picture as Abraham takes that wood and lays it upon his son, his only son, Isaac, and begins to walk up the mountain with him, we have a picture of Jesus Christ, who one day would bear the wooden cross upon his back and begin to walk up that hillside for you and for I. Verse number 8, Abraham says, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And once again, Abraham speaks in a prophetic voice and says, one day, God will provide himself a lamb. Amen. And one day, there would be another father and his only son that would be offered for your sins and for mine. But that time, the knife of the father would not stop. That time it would plunge into the heart of his son, and he would be offered as a sacrifice for you and for me. So we see that Abraham, in his obedience, pictures for us, even today, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But you know, one last thing that we can notice about Abraham this evening is that Abraham never regretted his obedience to God. You know, God asked this great, unfathomable thing from Abraham, but there was never one moment in his life, after it was all said and done, where Abraham would have said, you know what? If I could go back and not do that, I'd rather not do that. No, after Abraham passed through that trial and he got to the other side, his faith in God had grown so much. And there was never one moment in his life where he looked back with regret and said, oh, I wish I would not have obeyed God. I wish I wouldn't have done that. No. After he obeyed God, even though it seemed like everything was dark and bleak and hopeless, God came through. God provided, and Abraham had an experience that he wouldn't trade for the world. If you turn over to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11, Hebrews 11 and verse number 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And we find here, once again, Abraham's great faith. He accounted of God that he was able to raise him up from the dead. It says there in verse number 2, God says, take thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. You know, this wasn't something that Abraham wanted to do. He didn't want to get rid of his son, Isaac. It wasn't like Isaac was a really rebellious boy, and he said, oh, you know what? Thanks. I've been wanting to get rid of him. Sure, I'll offer him as a burnt offering. No. This was the son whom God had promised to him. And Abraham loved him. But yet, he had faith that God was going to keep his promises. He had faith that God was able to raise him up from the dead. He had faith that God knew what he was doing. The final outcome of trusting and obeying God is always greater than we can imagine. Now, the final outcome of our imaginations of how we think we should obey God is not always greater. But the final outcome when I truly obey and trust in God will always be greater than what I can even think. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. When we truly obey God, when we trust Him and obey Him, even in the circumstances and situations of life, when we put our life firmly in His hands and trust Him, the outcome will be greater than we could have imagined. Amen. It might not go like we thought or planned, but in the end, if you truly trust and obey God, you'll be able to look back and say, you know what? I had this plan, and I am so glad I didn't get what I wanted. I am so glad that I trusted and I obeyed God, because what He wanted for me was so much better.
Amen.
So we can consider Abraham this evening, but we can also consider God. You see, God had made a promise to Abraham. Back in Genesis, in chapter number 15, we find God coming to Abraham and giving him a promise. Genesis chapter number 15 and verse 5. Let's go up to verse number 4. It says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, to Abraham, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now, I don't know if you've ever been somewhere where you can see the stars in all of their glory. I've heard if you go out into the Rocky Mountains and places or out west where there's very little light pollution that you can really see the stars. I've never been there personally. But there's areas in Africa that you go and there's no light. The nearest town is 2 hours away. There's absolutely no light pollution. And you can look up into the sky at night and you can see more stars than you can fathom. And you finally realize why they call it the Milky Way. If you just stay around here and you look up at the stars, it's kind of pathetic. You say, oh, I don't see a Milky Way. I just see some stars up there, some planes, some satellites. Every once in a while you see a planet. But when you go somewhere where there's no light pollution, you look up and all you see, it looks like milk across the sky. Just millions and millions and millions of stars. And God takes Abraham in chapter number 15 and he takes him outside and says, look up at the stars and try to count them. Try to number them. And he says, so shall thy seed be. So God makes this great promise to Abraham years before it was finally fulfilled. But God made a promise. And when we consider God, we can see that God is a God that promises things. So tuck that away in your mind. We also see that God tested Abraham. In verse number 1 of chapter number 22, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham." So we see that God comes to Abraham and he tempts him, this verse says. In other words, he was testing him or trying him. We know from the New Testament that God does not tempt any man to sin.
That's right.
And if you studied this passage out, as well as the verse that we read earlier in James chapter number 2, where it says that God tested Abraham. So God put Abraham to the test. And here's Abraham as a rather old man. We know that Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And at this point, Isaac is grown. We don't know exactly how old Isaac was, but it's probably safe to say Abraham was somewhere around 120 years old. So he was fairly up there in years. But God comes to him with a test. We see that God wanted to test Abraham. But this wasn't the first test that Abraham had ever gone through. Abraham had been through a lot of tests in his life. God had told him to leave his family and go to a land which he would tell him of. Abraham had been offered the prime pasture land around Sodom and Gomorrah, and God had tested him there. And Abraham had turned away and followed after God instead. Abraham had been tested when he had to battle against the forces that had taken Lot. Abraham had been tested when he had to send his son Ishmael away because he had tried to fulfill God's promise in his own strength and his own power, and God said that wasn't going to work, and he had to send him away. You see, Abraham was no stranger to testing and trials in his life. But just because Abraham had been through some things, just because Abraham had walked some dark paths, he didn't get a free pass. Just because Abraham was older in years, he didn't get a free pass. God didn't come to Abraham and say, "Oh, well, you know, you've done some things for me, you've trusted me in the past, and I see that you're getting up there in years, so we'll just stop and leave it. You don't need to do anything more." No, we find Abraham facing the greatest test that he ever faced. And God had prepared him through all the years and brought him to this point. You see, you are never too old to be exempt from trusting and obeying God.
Amen.
You're never too old that God is done with you. God can use anyone who's willing to trust and obey Him.
Amen.
And God had put him through all these things that he had walked through in his life to prepare him for the single greatest challenge that he would ever face. So we see that God was testing Abraham. And we also go through tests in our lives. God tests us and tries us. But we also want to notice this evening God's character. One of the things that we can notice about God's character is that He doesn't want to leave us where we're at. He's not satisfied where you are. He's not satisfied where I am. I haven't achieved the pinnacle of spiritual success. I'm not there. You probably aren't either. If you're still breathing, you're probably not there. So the fact that you're breathing, God wants to take you on your spiritual journey further than you are right now. Abraham had walked with God for many years, but God wasn't done with him yet. God had further for him to go. So we see that God doesn't just want to leave us where we're at. Another thing that we can notice is that God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to us. You see, God came to Abraham and began to talk to him. Now, today, we don't hear the audible voice of God. But you know, God still wants to talk to you. God still has things that He's trying to say to you. And they're all recorded right here in His Word.
Amen.
For you. And we ought to be like Abraham. We ought to be busy listening to God. We ought to be busy putting ourselves in a place where we can hear from God and where we can listen to God and where we will obey Him when He speaks to us. Because God doesn't just want to talk to us for us to hear. He wants us to obey, like Abraham. We also see that God blesses those who do obey. It may not always be the blessing that we think we need, but He always blesses those who obey Him. We can also notice that God can use the testing and trials in our lives to teach others. We talked about that earlier. And that God often asks us to give up the things that mean the most to us. Has God ever asked you to give up something great in your life? Something that meant the world to you? For Abraham, that was Isaac. There was nothing in Abraham's life that God could have come and put His finger on that would have been greater than Isaac, that would have been harder to give up than Isaac. So this evening, is there something in your life that God has asked you to give up? You know, sometimes God will come, not always, but sometimes He'll come and He'll put His finger on something and say, "I want you to give this up. I want you to offer it to me." And when you do, sometimes He comes and He gives it right back. And that's pretty neat to see. But sometimes you don't get it back. But it's not whether or not we get it back that should define whether or not we give it to God. We ought to be willing to give anything in our life up for our relationship with God.
Amen.
But really, this evening, we want to notice that God provides. God provides. You see, God is revealed to us here in this story as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And if you think about that name, Jehovah, the Lord. The Lord means I am that I am. God, the self-existent one. The one who existed before the foundation of the world, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one who changes not. So we have this picture of God, the self-existent one, the one who existed before anything else. And he reveals himself here not only as the self-existent one, but as the self-existent one who provides. Who provides for the needs of his people. And we see here that Jehovah Jireh provided for Abraham. It says in verse number 14 of Genesis 22, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." You see, this God who provided for Abraham has a track record of providing. If you think about the Israelites, for instance, for over 40 years in the wilderness, he provided for over hundreds of thousands of people's daily needs. Every day, they had the food, the water, and the clothing, the leadership, the direction, everything that they needed for over 40 years. Now, I don't know that any of you have ever been tasked with something that great. Hundreds of thousands of people providing for their daily needs. Sometimes it's a big enough job just to provide for your own daily needs or the daily needs of you and your family, let alone hundreds of thousands of people. But you know, God never failed at that job. There was never a day where they came out and, oh, the manna wasn't there. Every single day, for over 40 years, they'd step out of their tent, there was their food. God has a track record of provision. In this story, we see that God provided a ram long before Abraham ever needed it. It doesn't tell us how the ram got there, but I kind of imagine that, I don't know, 3 or 4 years before Abraham and Isaac ever visited that hill, a little baby ram was born. And he lived the days of his life feeding in safety as God protected him. And one day God brought him up to a hillside and had him get caught in a thicket. All because he had an appointment for that ram with Abraham and Isaac. All this time, God was providing before Abraham ever needed it or ever knew that he needed this provision. God knew, and God was providing. You see, God wasn't surprised by what he asked Abraham to do. God knew that he was going to ask him to do that. And God provided everything that Abraham needed. And you know, in our lives, God is not surprised by any events that we ever face. He's not surprised by anything he asks you to do. He's not surprised by the needs that are facing you right now. He's not surprised by the things that he's asking you to do. Because God knows. And God has known. But we also want to consider the greatest provision that God ever made. Because just as Abraham said in verse number 8 that God will provide himself a lamb, God did. And you know, long before you and long before I were ever born, God looked down through time and he saw that you would be a sinner and that you would need a Savior, that you would need a Lamb to be provided in your place. And long before you were ever born, before you ever sinned, and before you ever thought of it, God provided the Lamb in your place. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 19 and 20, it talks about how Jesus, the Lamb, was slain before the foundations of the world. You know, God isn't surprised that you need a substitute. God's not surprised by the fact that you are a sinner. God already knows. And he's already provided everything that you need to get to heaven. He's already provided everything that you need for this life. And he's already provided everything that you need to meet the trials and troubles. But you know, so often, it's kind of absurd, really, that we're willing to put our faith and trust in God to save our eternal souls. But when it comes to the daily grind, our daily needs, and the things that we face from day to day, we pull back. And we say, you know what, I don't really think that I can trust God in that area. I don't really think that God is big enough to provide what I need here. I don't think that God's doing a good job in this situation. And it's absurd. Because we come to the Scripture and we see God is more than enough to provide our salvation. And you know what? If he's able to save all the souls of the world, he's more than enough to meet the daily needs that you have.
Amen.
If he's big enough to care for hundreds of thousands of people every single day for over 40 years, he's big enough to handle the thing that's in front of you. He's big enough to meet your needs. He's big enough to help you walk the path that he is asking you to walk. So last of all, just in conclusion, consider you. How well this evening do you know God? Psalm number 9 and verse 10. Psalm number 9 and verse number 10, it says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." They that know thy name. You know, God doesn't just reveal his names and himself in Scripture so that we can ignore it, so that we can read it and forget about it, but rather he reveals himself through his names in Scripture, so that we can live differently, so that we can know him and put our trust in him. So how well this evening do you know God? How do you respond when God asks you to give something up? When was the last time God put his finger on something in your life and said, you know what, that needs to go. That's coming between you and me, and I want it out of your life. What'd you do? Is it still in your life? Is it still something that you're trying to hold on to? How do you react to God's testing in your life? Do you react like Abraham in faith, trust, and obedience? Or do you get upset with God? Do you question him? Do you doubt him? How are you obeying God today? How are you disobeying God today? Those are really the only two options. You're either obeying God in the areas of your life, or you're disobeying Him. But really, this evening, have you given to God your life? Now, there's two ways you can do that. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, you really need to give Him your life. Because there is no other way. There is no other sacrifice, no other substitute for you but Jesus Christ. But as Christians, so often we say, well, you know, I trust God as my Lord and Savior, but I don't trust Him with my life. And so often we begin to pull back and take the control of my life and say, you know what, God, I've got this. I think I know better than you. Now, we wouldn't really say that out loud, but that's what we do day by day with our actions. When we go our own way and we don't follow Him. So I ask you this evening, have you given God your life? Because really, He's the best one to control it. Things to Abraham didn't make sense. When God said, I want you to offer Isaac as a burnt offering, it didn't make sense to Abraham. But Abraham knew God, and he said, you know what? Based on what I know about God, I'm willing to do whatever He says. Because I know that in the end, it's going to be good for me. So this evening, what is God asking you to do? What areas of your life do you need to give over to Him? And say, you know what, God, I've been trying to do this in my own. I've been trying to control it. But I want you to take it. I want you to have it. Because there is no one who is better at running your life than Jesus. And if you truly follow Him in obedience, it may not be easy. But I can guarantee, at the end of the road, if you truly follow Him in obedience, just like Abraham, you'll be able to look back and say, you know what? That was the best thing I ever did, was follow Him and give up. So this evening, what about you? What areas in your life do you need to step out in obedience and trust in Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide, to provide for you? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this evening. I thank You once again for Your Word. Father, I thank You for how You reveal Yourself to us as the God who will provide. I thank You for how You desire to use us, no matter how old or young we might be. And Father, how You desire for us to come to You and give our lives completely over to You. And how, if we'll do that, You're more than able to make something beautiful out of the ashes and the broken pieces that we bring to You. Pray that You would help each of us this evening to consider Abraham, consider You, and consider ourselves. Father, may we not forget that we belong to You. May we love You and live for You with every day of our life, that You might receive the honor and the glory. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.